The pastor comes to the very end of the ceremony where he has to ask the question, if anybody can show any reason as to why these two should not get married, speak now or forever hold your peace. So the pastor says these words and the church goes dead quiet. Everybody looks around a little bit, and the next moment this young woman who's sitting right at the back of the church, straddling a nice newborn baby in her arms, gets up and starts walking to the front. And of course this causes quite a few eyebrows to raise, and then everybody hears her high heels go click, clack, click, clack, and the more she comes forward, the more heads are turning. And of course at one point in time, the bride's father turns and he sees this happen. And immediately the thunderbolt starts coming through his eyes, looking at the groom. The bride's mother turns around, she sees that. She takes the bouquet of flowers she was holding and she starts tearing it up and she throws it. The bride turns around and she looks at that, and when she sees this happen, she doesn't think twice. She clumps the groom. The poor man is sitting on his backside, and the next thing you know, her entire family is standing behind him with this attitude of, boy, you don't know what's coming for you. And there's pandemonium in the church. The pastor is so taken aback, he actually didn't do nothing. He was caught completely off guard. And the woman keeps coming. Click, clack, click, clack. She comes and she stands in front of the pastor. The pastor looks at her. And with a voice that's breaking under the strain and the stress, he says, do you have anything to say? She says, sorry, man, I just want to say we can't hear nothing at the back. You know what, there's a lesson in that. Don't jump to conclusions. Because you just don't know. Amen?
Amen.
Don't jump to conclusions. Well, bless God. How many of you know we serve an awesome God?
Amen.
How many of you know that God is amazing and wonderful? And how many of you know that God truly loves His children?
Oh, yes.
You know, last week we had a really strange phenomenon take place here. You know, I've been in ministry for many, many, many years, and God never ceases to amaze me. Just when you think you've seen it all, God shows you in practical ways that you actually know nothing. And you know, that's a good thing, because we need to always know who's in charge. God is in charge, not man. There's a lot of things that we don't know, and there's a lot of things that God needs to reveal to us when the time is right. And God reveals Himself more and more and more as you grow in Christ and as you grow in your walk with Christ. You know, last week, right at the end of the meeting, now I'm talking about half past five in the afternoon, the power of God suddenly began to move in this place. And I saw God touch every single person here, and everybody began to cry. And you know what, I've never seen anything like that happen before. And I think it was quite special. And what the feeling that I got, I was giving people a hug. God said to me, go and hug the people. And as I was hugging the people, I felt this compassion inside of me. And all I can say is probably I felt a little bit of God's heart for people. I felt the love that God has. I felt the care. I felt the tenderness. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, right? Sometimes we need a bit of comfort. And it was almost like I felt the Holy Spirit's comfort for people. Amen. I know it did something for me. I do believe it did something for a lot of other people. And you know what? That got me thinking. God really is alive. And it's not that I doubted it before, because I do believe that God is real. I do believe that God is alive. But sometimes God in practical ways comes and touches people. I know most of you have heard my testimony, but today I want to just go back to something that happened when God touched my life that changed and transformed me and brought me to the place where I am today. It was back in 1995, as far as I can remember. I could be out a year or two, but let's call it 1995. It was round about the time of the Rugby World Cup. Everybody was excited. Everybody was all, we had rugby fever in this country. And one night I happened to be in church. I didn't really want to be in church, but God made a plan to ensure that I would be in church that day. So I ended up being in church. How's it, Michael? How are you? You're blessed.
Amen.
He's blessed. I ended up in church that day, and I had my first supernatural experience that day. Godly experience. I had a lot of demonic experiences before that. But this was the first time that I felt the power of God touch me. And I do want to say something to you, that when the power of God touches you, it changes you if you allow it to.
Amen.
And I have to say that because I saw a couple of my friends get touched the same night in a similar way to the way I got touched. Not one of them changed, but I did. And it's up to you. It's what you do with what God gives that will determine where your life is going to go. I was in a church that day when the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God was available. And I want to tell you, it was available for every person. There was a lot of people in the church that night. It wasn't a very big church, and I would gather that there was about 120 people. I know that because I know the hall that we were in could sit comfortably 120 people. It was packed. And I know that the power of God touched every single person in that place. I went to the front and this man prayed for me. It was the first time that the power of God came upon me and I was what we call slain in the spirit. To some people that's like a really weird concept. For some people that's obviously wrong, because why would God do that? Well, you know what, there's a lot of things that can't really be explained. But the Bible does say by their fruit you will know them, and sometimes you just have to test the fruit thereof. You know, if you pray for somebody and after you've prayed for them, they get up and they go and murder 20 people, I think it's clear to say that there was a problem there. But if you pray for somebody and something strange happens and they give their life to God and they change, then I think it also clearly speaks of godly fruit. I was in this church and this man prayed for me and I came under the power of God. I didn't even realize that I had fallen. I started feeling as light as a feather. It felt like my head, in a sense, began to swim. And the next thing I know, I was on the floor. I was never knocked out. I was never unconscious. There was just something busy happening very deep inside of me that took precedence over everything else. And so I lay there on the floor. And you know what? I felt something begin to happen in my heart. Now the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Is there anybody in this church here today that has a lot of sadness? Raise your hand. It comes from your heart. Is there anybody here today that battles with anger? Raise your hand. It comes from your heart. Is there anybody here that battles with rejection? You feel like people don't accept you for who you are. You feel you always have to prove yourself to people. Raise your hand. It comes from your heart. Is there anybody here that doubts a lot, that battles with confusion and doubt, and sometimes you even feel unbelief touch you? Raise your hand. Come, don't be afraid. You're in the house of God. It comes from your heart. Now, that's strange, because we would perceive that to come from the mind. No. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. And you know what? Even as children of God, sometimes we have issues. When you say to somebody you're full of issues, what do we mean? We mean that you got stuff that you need to sort out. You got stuff that you need to deal with. And you know, in some churches, they have this opinion that when you get saved, everything is sorted. It's like you signed, you sealed, you delivered, you're fine, and you know, you don't really have to worry about stuff like that. Well, let me help you to understand that's unbiblical. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come into your life because you are perfect. He comes to bring about perfection. There's a big difference. That day, God knew that I had a lot of issues. And yes, I did have a lot of issues. That day, God revealed Himself to me in a way that I could not argue it away. I'm a I studied engineering. I have an analytical mind. Probably before God touched me and the supernatural became real to me, I also had to see to believe, and God was aware of that. And so he allowed something to happen in my life that made me see so that I could believe. And I want to tell you something. While I was lying on that floor and the power of God began to move through me, I chose to believe. And you know what started happening inside of me? This cry began to come out of me, unlike anything I had ever experienced in my life before. I want to tell you, there wasn't enough tissues in the church. There wasn't enough tissues in the little dorpie where I was when the power of God touched me, because the tears just kept streaming and streaming out of my eyes. Do you know what God was doing? I'm not going to say that God took away all my problems, because I still had a lot and I still have some. But that day God came and God touched deep in my heart, which is where probably you would say my soul is. And you know, at that stage I was roughly 25 years old. And at the age of 25, you've been hurt many times. You've been disappointed many times. You've suffered failure many times. And that hurts, it touches inside. Sadness is there, pain is there, heartache is there, and it's a reality, and it needs to be sorted out. And sometimes that's the reason, you know, when you have a lot of hurt, sometimes it's difficult for you to receive love. I want to ask a question. Is there anybody in this church today who can relate to that, that sometimes because of all the hurt that you felt, you find it difficult to receive love? Be honest and raise your hand. Now, that's a problem, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says God is love. And if you have something in your heart that makes it difficult for you to receive love, then it is very difficult for you to truly receive God. There's a lot of people sitting in the church that have accepted God, but they don't really experience God the way they should, because there's a barrier inside. It could be hurt, it could be disappointment, it could be rejection, it could be anger, it could be fear, it could be a lot of things, but they battle to receive love. Now, my friend, that is a problem, because if God is love and you have a problem receiving love, you're going to have a problem receiving God. And I think I was one of those people. I had this barrier inside of me. I battled with fear, I battled with rejection, I battled with hurt, I battled with disappointment. And you know what? I'd never dealt with any of these things, because nobody ever told me how it works. Nobody ever explained it to me. But that day I was in a place where the grace of God, the mercy of God was moving, flowing like a river in that church. And you know, when the Holy Spirit touched me, nobody needed to explain nothing to me. It just began to happen naturally. I lay on the floor and it felt like waves moving over me. And I'll never forget, every now and then this wave would go and I would start crying louder and louder. Have you ever seen when you go to the, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. You go to the dentist and they're going to work on your tooth. They give you one injection and you actually need four. Yeah. And then they go and they touch there and it's, you look like that cat sitting on the roof. You touch a nerve. Sometimes when God works with us, he starts touching the nerves, where the hurt is, where the pain is, where the rejection is, where the fear is. And you know what? It's going to show. Somehow, it will manifest. More often than not, it manifests through crying. You know, there's that old adage that says cowboys don't cry. Well, then cowboys have never met God. Because when God starts dealing with you, when God starts working with you, you cry snot en trane, like we say in Afrikaans. You cry like a baby. And you know what? You don't really care who's around. You don't really care who sees, it doesn't matter who's thinking what. And I actually think we need a lot more of that. I had an encounter with God that day. Four of my friends were in the same church as me. They received prayer directly after me. They also cried. They also went down. Strangely enough, not one of them changed after that day. But I did. We were all touched by the glory of God. We all experienced the mercy of God. God touched all of us in a similar way because God is not a respecter of man. If God's grace is there for one, it's there for all. If God's mercy is there for one, it's there for all. There is, however, a difference, and the difference is in the heart of the man that receives it. I remember back in the day, I could not understand how from that day I didn't want to be the same. I wanted to be different. I felt different. I was chasing after whatever I could for this feeling not to go away. Yet even the very next day, these friends that were with me there that day made it off as nonsense, rubbish. Ah, whatever, you know what, it was something, but it's no big deal. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you this. Just because God comes and touches you, just because the power of God moves in you, is no guarantee that your life will change. Your life will not change because God wants it to change. Your life will change because you want it to change. Your life will not change because your wife is praying her eyes out, crying her eyes out and praying her knees through for you. Your life will change because you want it to change. Your life will not change because you have demons that God takes out. Some people like their demons and they'll just go out and call them straight back in. Your life will change when you choose to allow change to come into your life. Scripture says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Did you hear that? In other words, God teaches us that it is possible sometimes when God is working with the heart that some people say, don't go there. I don't want this. I want to change that scripture just a bit, and I don't believe that I'm out of line saying that. Today, when you feel my touch, today when I touch your heart, do not harden your heart. You do not know how your life could change until you allow God's change to filter through your life. I was lying on that floor and the power of God was upon me. I began to think about my life. I began to think about the things going on in my life. I felt conviction that I needed to change. I began to speak to God that night. Now, I was a man of prayer, and I'm not saying that in necessarily a good way. Probably in a religious sense, I was a man of prayer because I never went to bed without praying. But I didn't really have much of a relationship with God. In fact, looking back today, I can tell you probably the main reason why I prayed was out of fear. I was afraid that if I didn't pray, I would be in the dwelling, you know. It's like, maybe I'm going to have trouble, so I'd rather just pray. But that's not a good reason to pray. You should pray out of a thankful heart. You should pray from a heart that wants to communicate with God and wants to get closer to God. And you see, that was missing in my life. That night I was lying on that floor and the power of God was moving left, right, and center. I was vaguely aware of other things happening, but it was like I was enclosed in this glorious bubble. And inside of this bubble, there was power. It felt like electricity moving through my body. The more I cried, the better I felt, strangely enough. And you know what? I spoke to God about things that I'd never spoken to God about. Can I tell you why? Because for the first time in my life, I felt close to God. You know, the person that I claimed to know, that day I met him. That day I experienced his grace, his mercy, his love, his power. And it was my decision what I was going to do with what God had started. And I decided to grab with both hands this opportunity that God had given me. It was my decision that I would not allow anything to let this opportunity slip by. I understood something that day when I was lying on that floor. My life until now was empty. You know, sometimes we don't realize how empty our life is. We fill it with other things. We fill it with jolling and partying and drinking and messing around and having worldly fun. And we think it's okay. We all right. But you know what? I want to compare it with eating dry, what can I call it? Have you ever had like a chop that's been on the fire for a bit too long? It's a bit like charcoal.
It's cardboard.
It's cardboard. I know some of you eat your food that way. Come for prayer, we'll lay hands on you. It's a bit like cardboard, but imagine that every day that's what you get. You get used to it, and it sort of does propel you, it does allow you to go forward, and because it's all you know, you kind of like accept it, and then one day you get someplace and somebody puts a nice big fat juicy rump steak in front of you, grilled to perfection. You take one bite and you realize, oh my goodness, where have you been all my life? You see, the feeling that I got that night was that my life had been like that. I thought I had a nice life. I thought I had a good life. Yes, I was very active. I was jolling. I was out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night. Back then, the nightclubs weren't open on a Sunday night, so that night I used to rest. Yes. I was jolling in the wrong places. Yeah, by the grace of God, I never found those places. God probably put blinkers on for me not to see them. But that never did nothing for me. Because what I got that night in a couple of hours did more for me than all the other things that I had going on in my life that was sort of designed to make me feel better or make me feel good. And I had all these realizations that night while I was lying on the floor. And I want to say something else to you. That night, it felt to me like I came home. You know, I felt a bit like the prodigal son. You know, that guy that went away from his father and he said, give me my inheritance, I want to go and do everything. And you know what? And then he went and he blew it. And one day he woke up in a pigsty and he realized, oh, you know what? My father's servants have a better life than me. Let me go back and beg my father for mercy. Maybe I can become a servant because I'll have a better life. And when he came home, there was a party. I felt a bit like that. I felt like I came home. I felt like my spirit connected with something that I always knew, but there was this void, there was this lack. But that day, something connected in me. Where am I going with this? Simply this. Sometimes we are in a place where God allows His grace and His mercy to flow. And we should never, ever take that lightly. Who knows if we can have it again? I had an experience once, I shared it with somebody this week. When I was in matric, I came from a church background where there was no real prophecy or, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit didn't really work. And when I was in matric, I was sitting in this church and there was a prophet that came there that day. This prophet preached a sermon, very short, and then he began to prophesy over people. And when he began to prophesy over people, I started having a bit of a panic attack. And the reason I had a bit of a panic attack was because I saw that this man was speaking very directly into people's life concerning where they were. Now, my life was not in a very good place. I had visions of this person prophesying all my issues to people. And I thought, oh, I don't want this. He prophesied over a couple of people and then he said, there's a young man sitting here. The Lord says that he has a call on your life, but right now you're in a very bad place. You're far from God and it's time for you to come back. It's time for you to repent. It's time for you to change. And the Lord says, if you come forward today, God will deal with a lot of things and God will set you on your course. Something to that effect. I can't remember the exact words, but that's the gist of it. So I'm sitting there and I start feeling red hot. My ears begin to boil. My face is full of hot flushes. I feel very, very uncomfortable. Because while this man is talking, it's like something is knocking on my heart. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it feels like this man is talking to me, but there's no way, I'm not going to go for it. I don't want this. The gentleman stayed quiet for a little while and then he repeated what he said. Again he said, young man, the Lord is speaking to you today. This is the grace of God available for you. Respond and God will change your life. I listened to what he said and again I thought to myself, there's no way, I'm not moving. And you know, my friend sitting next to me, Opiro, in some respects, Opiro is as thick as two planks. But that day he had a very bright moment because he nudged me. Shh, shh. He said, I think he's talking about you. I said, shh, be quiet. Mind your own business. I didn't go forward and the guy said, the Lord says I must leave you. But one day you're going to look back and be sorry that you did not respond. And you know what, today I can tell you I look back and I'm sorry that I did not respond that day. Because my life went a lot more to the wrong way after that day. Because that day when I heard God's voice, I hardened my heart. Now by the grace of God, God never gave up on me. God's mercy was still there for me. God's grace was still there for me. And there came a day when the power of God just came down. And it was that day in the church. Last week we had a similar experience here. The power of God began to move. Many years ago, when I started having my own meetings, God gave me a promise. God said to me, through your hands, I will release revival. And you know what? Many, many times I remind God about his promise that one day God will give revival. But you know what? I also sat and I thought about it. What is revival? You know, sometimes we have this feeling that revival is, it has to do with thousands of people coming into the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying that it doesn't, but that's just one sector of the bigger picture. Revival is not about the thousands of people that get touched. Revival is about the power of God coming down and touching people. There can be revival when God touches one person, and there can be revival when God touches a million. In the end, revival is when heaven and earth meet and God reveals his glory. So let's ask this question. Does God still do these things? Yes, he does. Is it still available to us today? Yes, it is. You know, scripture says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus ministered on the earth, Jesus ministered in the power of revival. Every place where Jesus spoke, revival took place. Can I tell you why revival took place? Because heaven and earth met. The supernatural power of God moved. The sick was healed, the blind eyes opened, the deaf heard, the cripple walked. Demons came screaming out of many. And I want to tell you something, a lot of people's lives changed. But now let's ask this question, did everybody's life change? I want to show you a scripture. A very sad scripture, yet a very true and telling scripture. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 20. It says the following. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up into the skies? No. You will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, they would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Listen to how this starts. Matthew 11, verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce. In other words, Jesus began to turn his back on the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Let's ask the question, what is repentance? The Greek word for repentance is the word metanoia, which we get the English word metamorphosis from. Who knows what a metamorphosis is? It's when a creepy crawly turns into a butterfly. Am I right? In other words, it doesn't even resemble the same thing. Yesterday you were a worm, today you're a butterfly. Okay, for some of you, yesterday you were a worm, today you're a moth. You're still on your way to being a butterfly. But the fact of the matter is, repentance has that connotation to it. There has to be a change. You can't tell me that you met with God. You can't tell me that you received the glory of God, that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, that you got saved and born again. But when we look at your life, there's actually no change and no difference. Because then you're talking nonsense. You see, there has to be change. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed. We're talking about cities in which the blind eyes opened regularly, in which the deaf ears heard regularly. We're talking about the cities in which Jesus had turned water into wine, where he had walked on water. We're talking about the cities in which Jesus had multiplied food substance so that five fish and two loaves of bread or whatever could feed 5,000. We're talking about cities where the Bible says, and everybody that was brought to Jesus was healed on that day. How amazing is that? Come on, just use your imagination. Go back in time. You're in this place. People with AIDS, instantly healed. People with cancer, instantly healed. The cripple, you bring them, they even come close to Jesus, they get up, they start walking. People with diverse diseases, instantly healed. People with demonic oppression, people that are mad as a hatter, and suddenly the power of God, and demons come out and they find. We're talking about cities that experience the very grace of God, but they did not change. And that to me is a very sad thing. Many times when I'm quiet, I sometimes think about these things. And I did see it for myself. And I've seen it many times when we pray for people here. I've seen people that God has done amazing miracles for. And then somewhere in the future, they turn their back on God. And you know, sometimes you wonder, is it something that I do? No, it's not something that I do. Because you see, I'm not responsible for the hearts of other people. I'm only responsible for my own heart. Repentance means allowing God to come into your heart and accepting the change that He brings. It means allowing God into your heart and wanting to change. It's a change in your mindset. You know, before you meet God, you might think everything is fine. I'm all right. I was like that. If you asked me 2 days before God touched my life in that church, I would have told you, yeah, I got a couple of small issues in life, but you know what? I've actually got a good life. There's a difference between seeing my life through my own eyes and seeing my life through God's eyes. That night, God allowed me to see my life through His eyes, and I didn't like what I saw. I realized that I have to change. And because God touched deep inside of me, I was ready to change. I don't really have a sermon to preach to you today. I actually have a sermon to preach to you today. Here it is, but I'm going to probably do that next week. Today, I just want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about your life. I want to talk to you about repentance. I want to talk to you about change. I want to talk to you about the glory of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God that is available to each and every one of you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's available to you. And it's in the house. It's here today. What you do with it will determine where you go with your life or not. And don't you ever blame God one day and say, oh, but you know what? Oh, no. What are you doing with the grace of God? Do you accept it? Do you reject it? Do you allow God to touch and change you? And God doesn't change you. You choose to change. Do you allow it or not? I don't know. Let me tell you where a lot of people have a big misconception about repentance. A lot of people see repentance as that day when somebody preaches a message, you get the idea that you're in the wrong place and that you need to come back to God. You accept that call. You go forward. You give your life to God. Somebody prays with you and everybody claps hands and they welcome you into the kingdom. And okay, now I've repented. I'm fine. Is that what repentance is? No. Because let me teach you something about repentance. Repentance is something that you're going to have to do between now and the day you leave to go to be with God on a regular basis. Can I tell you why? Because the day that you accepted Jesus, everything in your life did not fall into place. The day that you accepted Jesus, you received the one that can help you to change. There is a change. Let me show you. I'm going to do this in a demonstration. Let's say, where this little pulpit is a line. Let's say towards the left is the kingdom of darkness. Let's say towards the right is the kingdom of heaven. They are both a reality. Now who can help me? When I get born, when I come from God, when my spirit is sent from God to come down to earth, where does my spirit land? Well, it definitely doesn't land in the kingdom of light. It lands somewhere in the kingdom of darkness. Let's say all the way up, down here somewhere. I'm far removed from God. You want scripture for that? Let me read you something. Book of Isaiah. Just give me a second. Isaiah 59, not Isaiah 49. Listen to this. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. In other words, this scripture speaks of separation between man and God, and that we must come back to God. So, when we come down, there is a separation between us and God. I'm somewhere here. I'm in darkness. Let's ask this question. Does God want me here? How can we validate that? Well, scripture says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God made a way for me not to be in darkness, for me to be in the light. Now here's the thing. This is the border, right? Over here. When I come down, I don't have to necessarily be on the border. There are various differing degrees of how far we can be away from God. Some people are very naughty. Raise your hands if you were very naughty. Okay, probably then you were somewhere over here. Very far from. Okay? Some of us were very rebellious. Some of us were into funny things. We messed around with witchcraft and sorcery. We were somewhere on the other side of the hall. Okay? The fact is, God still wants you there. Now, how does this work? Well, because God loves you, because God cares for you, and because God's plan for you is not to be this side, but to be that side, God is going to be working in your life. Sometimes you hear a sermon, like me. I was in church, and God spoke to me. And something began to happen in my heart. If I accept it, I move closer to the border. If I reject it, I might stay where I am. If I choose to be even naughtier, I can even be pushed further away from the border. And the devil wants me as far away from the border as possible. He's going to use friends and family and influences. He will use the internet. He will use whatever he can to push me away. Sometimes people hurt us. And because we are hurt and we're carrying bitterness and anger and resentment and unforgiveness and our hearts are black with all of this stuff, it pushes us far away from God. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says God never slumbers and God never sleeps. Over time, every now and then, I will have encounters with people. Hear a testimony here, hear a sermon there, read a little booklet, listen to something on the radio, see something on television. The Holy Spirit is working. Now and then, he pushes me closer and closer. This is not something that happens overnight. For some people, it can take 20 years. For some people, it can take 5. For some people, it can take 50. Depends on your heart. Every now and then, God, through people, through circumstances, touches your heart. And as you accept what God wants to do, you move closer and closer. And of course, the closer you move to the border, the more the devil gives you a hard time because he doesn't want you there. And then one day, you're not aware of this, you're just living life. One day you're right there. You're right at the border. You're in a place where the message of salvation comes to you. Whether somebody preached it, whether the Holy Spirit spoke into your heart, whether you saw a TV program, I don't know. But you get this realization that, you know what? I don't want to live separated from God. I want to be that side. I want to be a child of God. Can I tell you why it's impossible for you to cross over on your own? You can never cross over on your own because you need a passport. Do you know what the passport is?
Salvation.
The passport is Jesus Christ. He says in his own words, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way to come to God, that is through Jesus, the Son. So one day, you have an experience where God reveals his grace, his mercy. You accept Jesus, and you move over. Amen? Now, that is repentance, right? I mean, there has been a change, hasn't there? Look at this. I was on this side of the border. Let's make it practical. Let's say the border between South Africa and Namibia. Standing on this side, I'm in South Africa. Standing on this side, I'm in Namibia. There is a difference, isn't there? Well, it's not that big if you think about it. How big is the difference? The climate still feels the same. The atmosphere doesn't feel different. I didn't hear bells and whistles or anything like that. The thing is, most people, when they make that commitment, for the rest of their lives, they're going to hang around the border here. You know what the problem is with hanging around the border? It's not that difficult for the enemy to just pull you back every now and then. Is the idea to move over the border and then just hang around here and look with longing eyes at what you've given up? Or is the idea to move into the new kingdom and get busy with what God called you to do? You see, here's the thing. If I was into pornography and womanizing and lying and all sorts of stuff on this side. That's part of my life. And taking one step away from it, that's not moving away from your problem much, is it? So guess what? Every now and then, I'm just going to go back to all of that stuff. So what needs to happen is when I cross the border, when I repent, accept Jesus, and I'm here, now there needs to be more repentance. I need to realize that I need to deal with my lies. And as I allow God to deal with my lies, probably the Holy Spirit will take me up one or two steps further. Then I need to deal with my sexual immorality. And if I truly do that, and if I choose to repent and I clean my heart of that, I'll take another couple of steps away. Then I need to deal with my addiction to pornography or alcohol or whatever the case might be. And if I truly do that and I allow God and I change, I repent, I'll move a bit further away. And you know what starts to happen? The allure, the pull, the gravity of that side gets less and less and less. And you know what? You can come to a place where if you truly allow the Holy Spirit to move you, if you come to a place that you don't resist the Word of God. Today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. When God speaks to you about things and you say, oh, Lord, you know what? It's true. I need to change. I'm sorry. I need to repent. You'll get further and further and further away. The Bible says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. When you are on that side, you are on the road that seems right unto man. You are on the road that God wants. The only way to get onto this road is to humble yourself before God. And everybody has to humble themselves before God at some point in time. I want you all to look at me. Repentance is not that day when you accepted Jesus. Repentance is a lifestyle. Repentance is something that you constantly have to do. When you just get saved, you're all happy, you're all excited, you're all blessed, but have you dealt with any of your problems? No. You still have to confront your problems. You still have to work through your issues. You still have to deal with the things that pushed you so far away. That means there's going to be many times in your life when the Holy Spirit will come and touch your heart. And it's your choice what you're going to do with it. If you believe the fallacy that once saved, everything is fine, you can just go on and the grace of God is sufficient for you, well, there's nothing much I can do, but it's unbiblical. Because there's going to come a time in your life as you walk this road and you want to get away from the border that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about things. And what you do with it will determine where you are going to go. I'm sure every one of you wants to be somewhere down that road. You know, the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a hope, to give you a future. If this is the border between darkness and light, where does God want you to be? Your future is there. I can't tell you exactly where, but it's somewhere there. It's way down the path that leads to eternal life. Your future is not there because that's the fires of hell. Your future is there. If you allow the Holy Spirit to walk a road with you, if you are willing to humble yourself, if you acknowledge your mistakes, if you repent, if you allow God to change you, if you expect God to change you, you will move. And there will come a day when the people will look at you and say, why are you so different? What happened to you? Why you changed so much? You look better. It's a lot easier to influence people's lives in a godly way when you're down there than when you're down there or even just here on the border. Because there's more change that way. Let me ask this question. Does God expect you to change? Look at your neighbor and say, God expects us to change. Who knows the first message Jesus ever preached? Jesus' first message that he ever preached was simple. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen carefully. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repentance in some sense means change your direction. Stop going that way. Start moving that way. God doesn't want us to hang around the border. You know, some people are happy to just, I got saved 30 years ago, I'm fine. No. Where you get that gospel from? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, repentance is the foundation. The more we repent, the more we move away. The more we examine our heart and we deal with the stuff that's inside, the more we move away. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. It's funny how everybody wants to prosper, but not everybody wants to change. Let me tell you something. There is a direct correlation, a relationship between the amount of change that you have allowed God to bring into your life and the prosperity that you experience. The more you fight change, the less prosperity you will have. Because if you don't change, you don't move away from the border. And the problem with hanging around the border is every now and then the devil just pulls you back a bit. Not a good place for you to be. Amen? Last week, the power of God moved in this place. The Holy Spirit began to touch people. The glory of God was here. I don't know what's going to happen this week because I'm not in charge. God is. But I want to say this to you, if the Holy Spirit begins to move you again this week, grab with both hands what God has to offer. You don't know if you'll ever experience it again, firstly. But secondly, don't play with the grace of God. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, there's anointing, there's power to bring change, to bring transformation, to heal, to restore. There's revival. And probably you need revival more than you know. Amen?
Amen.
Did anybody maybe learn something today?
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand.